Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say once again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my podcast. Today is Monday, June 26th, 2023. The title of today's program is in the form of a statement. And it is very important that you pay attention carefully to everything I'm talking about today, because I am talking about something that is very important for those who follow my podcast in the relationship of the treatment of women in Iran. Today I'm going to talk about how Iran is intensifying the pressure on unveiled women. You've heard about this before. If you've been following me at all, you know the latest uprising took place on September 16th, 2022, following the cruel death of Mahsa Amini, which everyone believes, including myself, that she was beaten and killed while in custody. What was her crime? Showing a few strands of hair. Now, there has been an uprising since September. I wrote a book recently about it called Uprising, We Are the Revolution. In that book, I gave you a very important explanation of the evolution of the hijab law in Iran. Since this uprising and the thousands that have been murdered simply for fighting for freedom and equality, fighting for equal treatment by men, since the uprising, the Iranian regime has become even more fierce about the implementation of the hijab law. The whole premise is that a woman must be fully veiled when going out in public, or else there'll be severe consequences. You would think since the death of Mahsa Amini and the uprising that things might have lessened a little bit or changed. That certainly is not the case at all. What I want to do today is go through this latest bill proposal of how Iran is going to ramp up and intensify the pressure on unveiled women. But before I do that, I want you to hear an explanation from I-24 News, France, I-24 News. It takes a couple of minutes, but this is a summary of what the government has been doing since the Woman, Life, and Freedom Uprising. Let's listen.
Earlier, we spoke to our Tehran correspondent, Reza Saeed.
This is the best indication yet that the government feels confident that the women's led anti-government protests that were started last September are over, and the government believes that they have the upper hand, they have the momentum now, and they're going to use that momentum to reestablish Iran's mandatory hijab law and convey the message to women and the Iranian people that if you thought the hijab law was not going to be enforced, think again. If you violate this law, there's going to be a price to pay. How are authorities doing that? they're seemingly using a two-pronged approach. First off, they've launched an awareness campaign. We've seen a lot of security officials, politicians appear on state media, advertisement, television, reminding people of the hijab law. People are getting text messages reminding them of the hijab law. Authorities have also announced a plan to use smart cameras in streets to find women who are not wearing their hijab. Presumably, these smart cameras are going to be more effective with people in cars because authorities are going to be able to link the license plates to the owner of the car, and they'll probably be a little less effective with pedestrians walking the streets. If authorities find women who are not wearing their hijab, they're going to get a warning first and then fines and stiffer penalties to come. Officials also say they're going to go after individuals who are promoting the idea of women going out in the streets without the hijab. We've seen a lot of individuals on social media, especially celebrities, posting pictures and messages encouraging people to do that. Authorities say the fines or penalties are going to be stiffest for those individuals. All of this comes after the anti-government protests that started last September with the death of Mahsa Amini. She died in custody after being arrested for allegedly not abiding by the Islamic dress code. Hundreds of people killed, thousands arrested. One thing we saw over the past several months is a lot of women coming out in the streets without the hijab, and many thought that one of the outcomes here in Iran of the protest was the easing of the hijab law, that more women would be able to come out with the hijab, but clearly the government with this campaign is saying that's not going to be the case.
Okay, there you have a brief summary. I want to be more detailed in how Iran is intensifying the pressure on unveiled women. This is an article published on June 15th, just a week or so ago, by the Center for Human Rights in Iran. And it's entitled, Iran, Proposed Bill Pushes Denial of Basic Rights to Unveiled Women. So I want to talk to you about the content of this article. I want you to understand just the ramped up, intensified pressure that is going to be on unveiled women. In my book, Uprising, I give you a capsulized version of the history of the hijab law in Iran. A lot of what this article is talking about with this proposed bill is pretty much what I've written in my book. So let's talk about unveiled women in Iran and what is going to happen to them. Well, in the wake of the Woman Life Freedom Movement, which ignited 9 months ago, a new parliamentary bill has emerged, intensifying discrimination against women who choose not to wear the hijab in Iran, and while also undermining, this bill also undermining fundamental rights such as freedom of expression, belief, religion, and association. Well, we know this to be the history of women since the Iranian Revolution began in 1979. Women in Iran have long endured a status as second-class citizens, not just with the hijab, but in marriage, in work, in every aspect of life. Now the government's proposed bill aims to widen the scope of institutionalized discrimination by establishing a subclass for unveiled women. The bill suggests that simply revealing women's hair should result in denial of essential services such as access to banking, public transportation, and even imprisonment. Now, this bill also places an enormous burden on ordinary citizens, compelling them to participate in the state's degradation of unveiled women by enforcing a system of surveillance and reporting. It creates an environment of division and hostility among Iranians, leaving women even more vulnerable to violence. Remember, in Germany, the Gestapo would encourage citizens to report if their neighbors were hiding Jews or doing anything contrary to the dictator Hitler. And these citizens would get benefits from being spies and tattletales. Well, this is what this government wants the citizens to do. They want them to get involved. This goes back, like I mentioned, to the 1979 revolution, and just recently with the Woman Life Freedom Uprising. Let me just give you a couple examples from this article of what's going down. A woman says, a few days ago, a man on the metro pushed me hard because I wasn't wearing a hijab and I fell on the ground. Then he dragged me. If the police hadn't arrived, the man wouldn't have left me alone. So there's violence, physical violence. And there are stories after stories of what women are going through because of this chastity and hijab bill. With the surveillance system, with the cameras, with the text messaging to women in their cars, they're using smart cameras from the Tandy Corporation, which of course comes from our buddies in China. And again, this is enforcing discriminatory treatment of women who choose not to wear the hijab. Under this proposed law, government employees who are accused of not wearing a proper hijab or not wearing hijab at all would face salary and benefit deductions and could potentially be deprived of their employment. Business owners and their staff would be obligated to monitor and enforce compliance with the hijab law. If they don't, if they fail to do so, it could result in the closure of their businesses. If a woman comes into their business not wearing a hijab, he has the duty to not allow her to sit in his venue. And if he allows unveiled women to come into this place of business, his business will most likely be shut down. The range of punishments, public flogging, work bans, restrictions on using social media, imprisonment. As my Iranian friend Maral says, Iran is one prison. But this proposed bill actually violates Article 9 of the Constitution. Now imagine that. That states that no authority has the right to abrogate legitimate freedoms, not even by enacting laws and regulations for that purpose, under the pretext of preserving the independence and territorial integrity of the country. But they don't care. It is something that this government is obsessed with, the degradation and discrimination of women. And this has been going on since the 1979 revolution. Long ago, I wrote a blog about an experience that my Iranian friend, when she lived in Iran, thankfully her and her husband live in Vancouver, her name was Atafi, she texted me one day as I was making a trip to the bank for the bookstore where I worked at, and she was just so tell you just how far this law goes. And Atefi, my friend, was sharing with me an incident. Let me point this out. She used to live in Tehran, and she was leaving her home one morning to go shopping at a local clothing store. It was springtime. Nowruz was coming. One of the things Iranians do all the time during Nowruz is they go shopping. They buy new clothes. So here my friend, Atefi, was going to the store. She's browsing around in the clothing store, and she had noticed in the clothing store Iranian security officers confronting the store owner. What's going on here, Atefi was thinking. Later on, she discovered that the security officers had found the store owner was in violation of the Islamic dress code, which is what we're talking about today. What was her violation? The clothing store manager. She had failed to put hijabs on all of the mannequins, and she had to do that immediately or be arrested. Now, wait a minute. Help me out here, please. Isn't there a distinction between human beings and mannequins? What is a mannequin? A mannequin is a lifeless form of plastic representing a human being that is used to display the latest fashion in store windows. Oh, I get it now. The Islamic government, the Islamic Republic of Iran, would prefer that all Iranian women behave just like mannequins. Mannequins don't speak. They don't talk back. They don't protest. They don't whine. They don't complain. These lifeless plastic forms wear whatever you put on them without a complaint and stand in the window all day. Because Iranian law puts the stress on image as being everything. What they want is Iranian women to obey without complaint and wear whatever they are told to wear, just like mannequins in the store window. This sad reality of the government and their obsession with the hijab law and with mannequins in a store window, it reduces real human beings to lifeless forms of plastic without hearts and soul. Human beings can't exist under these conditions because they lose all their self-worth, self-esteem. And that's exactly what false religion does. It robs people of all meaning and purpose in life and reduces them to little more than puppets on a string. Well, I got some news for the government in Iran. God didn't create us as lifeless forms or puppets on a string. He created us with great value and gave us a heart to discover the beauty of life that surrounds us. He breathed into our souls love, purpose, and creativity to shine like the brilliant colors of the rainbow and for us to make a difference in a world of suffering and pain. But I'm going to tell you what. Our lives, Iranian women's lives, won't shine very brightly if they are reduced to the morbid and depressing existence of mannequins in a store window. I want to just end this thought with this scripture that I pray for my Iranian friends almost every day. Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14. He will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and the needy, and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him. That needs to be the cry of our hearts in prayer toward God as the government intensifies the pressure on unveiled women in Iran. Now, as many times as you have listened, you've heard the beautiful voice of my dear Iranian friend Marzeya Amirzadeh. Of course, her and her best friend Miriam Rostenpour spent almost a year in Evin prison on death row for distributing Bibles. But as we've been talking this morning about the oppression and treatment of women in Iran, I want you to hear what happens to an Iranian woman who is caught converting from, quote, Islam to Christianity and or distributing Bibles in Iran. This is how the government treats them. I want you to hear this very brief, short soundbite of Marzeya describing what it was like to be in Evin prison. Let's listen.
We were witness to execution of other prisoners. They took me to a cell in another ward, and they kept me there for 1 week. And in that cell, after a few days, they took one of my cellmates and executed her in order to show me what will be the cost of our resistance. Because, you know, we were sentenced to execution by hanging. In each court, they were threatening us that we should deny our faith in Jesus. They told us that you made a wrong decision and you should deny your faith. You should come back to Islam. Otherwise, we will hang you. And our interrogators always, during every interrogation for hours, they put pressure on us to deny our faith. I remember in the last month, they just told us, if you just write one sentence, just renouncing your faith in Jesus, we would set you free. But we refused to do that because, you know, I told them that I shared with them how I became a Christian, and I told them I'm not going to deny my faith in Jesus. Just go ahead and hang me, because even if you cut each part of my body, you're not able to separate him from me.
A very courageous young lady, Marzia Amorizeta. God rewarded their suffering and their commitment and loyalty to not denying their faith, because a few months after she shared this story, her and her best friend Miriam were released from Evin prison. It was a miracle. Really, the pressure put on by human rights organizations all over the world, the many prayers said on their behalf, made all the difference in the world. But I shared her brief testimony, and I've shared her entire testimony on my radio program many times. I wanted you to hear that this is a woman, grace under pressure, being told, if you will just recant your faith in Jesus, come back to Islam. And she refused to do it. You know, 70% of the mosques are closed in Iran. You know why? Islam is dying. Because the great underground church of radical, courageous Christians, Iranian Christians, are rising up, and the government is terrified of Christianity because it's making a huge difference in Iran. The mosques are closing down. God's kingdom is on the march. Praise his holy name. And as you listen this morning to the pressure being put on unveiled women, the oppression of women in Iran, and then you hear of the testimony, the brief one, of Marzain saying, no, I will stay with Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior. The only solution to the oppression in Iran is speaking the mighty name of Jesus in intercessory prayer, preaching the mighty name of Jesus. Because in Jesus we have authority and power to demolish strongholds. And in Jesus we have forgiveness and eternal life and every good thing that God wants to give us. Let's listen to this beautiful song right now from Charity Gale, I Speak Jesus.
Speak the name of Jesus. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name,
song of worship, the name of Jesus, power, freedom, life. This is the solution to the problem, the oppression of women in Iran. It is Jesus. It is his power. It is his authority. It is his love. It is his forgiveness. Everything that the Iranian people need is found in Christ. And the underground church, over a million worshipers that have to meet secretly because of the government. They are the power there. God has given him the power and the authority to advance the kingdom of God in Iran. This is the solution to the oppression, to the violence, to the death. And as you and I pray together, we will see God's kingdom advance, multiply, and increase in Iran. I want you all to have a great week. I want you to remember that every Monday and Thursday I'm here at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, and I will always keep you updated about what's happening with my dear Iranian friends. This Thursday, special Bible teaching. Meet me there this Thursday on the cross in the desert. God bless you.